Welcome to Banana Bites. In this segment of the podcast, we go live on Dataiku's LinkedIn and Twitter every other week to talk to you about the latest in data science and AI. Our 15-minute bites are here to fuel your afternoon snack time with easy-to-digest food for thought.
Hi, welcome to the Banana Data Podcast. I am Trevaini. This is Corey and Chris, and we are the team that brings you these really fun podcasts and today's Banana Bite every other week to you. So we're here with our Banana Bite on November 11th, 11/11. And my wish is that Corey kicks us off with some interesting topic.
Well, your wish will come true.
Oh, yay.
So today's topic, you know, where are my peeps at? Today we'll be using artificial intelligence to extend people analytics. This is based off of an article from the Harvard Business Review. Tech is transforming people analytics. Is that a good thing? As Trevaini cited, today is 11/11. Make a wish. My wish is for you to subscribe to the Banana Data Podcast and also for you to ask any questions in the chat that we may be able to answer. So please make my wish come true. So with that said, I'm going to hand this off to Chris. Chris, tell us about people analytics.
Oh, man. So I guess I have to have a wish, too. I'm wishing Corey a happy birthday week. It was his birthday the other day.
Thank you.
Tidbit for our BDN listeners.
He went bananas.
Oh, gosh. But anyways, people analytics. What is it? People analytics is the mechanism by which companies, and typically like the HR or the human resources teams at companies, use data about both their employees and their organization and, you know, lots of other things to generate insights that will tend to translate that data into ways in which the organization can actually improve its effectiveness. And that's a very, very broad general kind of overview, but that's what people analytics is.
So we talk about people analytics. Can you like maybe cite like some examples of like how companies might be able to utilize it or what they're utilizing it for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, for example, I know that Google does sort of performance reviews for their employees and specifically evaluations for leadership or managers. And they've identified sort of 8 different pillars of common attributes they see that are, you know, linked between people who are deemed successful. So maybe people who've stayed there for a very long amount of time, that's one dimension. Or people who have really great strategic thinking or technical skills to help advise, you know, sort of the junior level employees, and so on and so forth. And it's a really great way to help professional development of both individuals at Google or other companies, but then also by proxy, help the efficiency of the organization in terms of succeeding in their various goals.
That sounds really good. That sounds like a really net positive. Yeah, I mean, you take the good, you take the bad, you take it all, and then we have Trevaini. Tell us about what you think.
Irresponsible AI.
Oh, no.
No, I'm kidding. You know, I think there's a lot of really good potential within people analytics with things like, hey, okay, we expect these skills and this is where you are. Let's get you to the next level. And quantifying that can actually be quite empowering for some folks. But I also think that like with everything, there's always sort of the dark side. And like we've said before on this very Banana Bites show, it's not the AI that's evil, it's how it's used. And so I know that there's a lot of new sort of experimentation, especially with the major work from home situation that most of us are in, you know, to track how employees are, how much time they're actually sitting at their desk and looking at their cameras or looking at their screens. And, you know, even before the work from home pandemic fun, you know, there were plenty of companies that had monitoring tools on the browsers, right? How much time are you spending on news sites versus, you know, your email inbox? And that's, you know, that's somewhat reasonable, I think. But when you start crossing to this line of like monitoring your face, tracking your eyeballs, trying to decide if you're feeling happy or sad, you get into this really weird surveillance part of the equation. And I think that like it starts detracting from the people side of things.
Mm-hmm. It's people analytics, but rather than dealing with people, you're really dealing more with just the analytics side of things. People become a number rather than like, how are you doing? You know, self-evaluation is important. And I know, for example, at Data IQ, we have tools to help self-evaluate us. Like we're asked, how are we feeling? How do we think about something or something like that? There's a really human side of doing it. And I think that the way the platform that we use in particular is really good about that. But at the same time, is that data really, are you focusing on the human on the other side who's answering and why they're answering that? Or are you focusing on the sort of the mean, the average of what the response is going to be to that question?
Well, I think, and I'm sorry, Chris, I'm probably...
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
I think that there's two layers of that, right? You know, so HR leaders who don't need to look at every single person's self-assessment can at least use these aggregates to get a pulse, get a temperature text of something, right? Temperature.
A pulse check?
Pulse check. Wow. So clearly my AI brain is breaking, but you get a pulse check. And I think that can be really powerful for people who need to understand aggregations. But then those kinds of platforms also provide managers and employees an opportunity to do their own analytics. I know frequently I look back at my sort of monthly, what's my week been like, you know, over the past few months? How stressed have I been feeling? You know, have I felt overloaded? Whatever it might be. And that can actually help me tell my manager better what I need. And so I don't think that there's, yeah, I think it's a matter of, again, how you're using it and less so of what it is.
Yeah, I certainly 1,000,000% agree here with these various tools that kind of help us monitor our mental or physical well-being, you know, whether it's work-related or not. You know, if I know how Trevani is feeling and I know she's having a particularly bad day or a particularly good day, I could use that information to say, you know, maybe as a manager be like, hey, Trevani, like, I know you're having a pretty rough day. How can we kind of, you know, cross the things off the to-do list and what can I help you with, right? But at the same time, knowledge of your kind of inner emotional state, physical or physiological state, can actually be a tool or a really for good or bad, right? I could maybe use it as a manipulation tactic to maybe get Trevani to do something I want her to do that she may not want to do. And that can be used for evil.
I think it's one of those things of like the sort of privacy element then.
Yeah.
At what point does the analytics cross over into surveillance, monitoring, tracking that's not about the people and more about like performance or whatever it is?
Mm-hmm. Ultimately, at the end of the day, this is to try to promote as much efficiency as possible, because the more efficient you are, the more time you're saving, the more money that you save, the more time you can focus on investing on doing something that could ultimately make money either short term or long term. So, I guess my question is like, is there a point where we're using this is actually having a negative side effect and it's not making us as efficient?
Well, I think, you know, people analytics is just like data science, it's relatively new. And I know we talked about some of the positive and negatives here, but it harkens back to this comparison I've heard made before with new technology. And it was the comparison between the elevator versus the lie detector. And it's all about the perspective of the usage. So when the elevator came out, it was fear of something new. And like this thing lifting you up, people were afraid to use it because they just didn't quite understand how accurate is this? How safe is this? But those concerns for the elevator are basically essentially addressed by the technology itself. We pretty much know that these cables are going to hold a bazillion pounds of weight, and it's very reliable that you can board this and it'll increase efficiency for our workplace or whatever. But for the lie detector, it's very much sort of the opposite. You know, we had these faulty assumptions possibly that, you know, tracking your heart rate or whatever it is, your breathing, your respiratory rate is actually going to inform whether or not you are lying. But you know, in the coming years, it was found out that it is pretty much a pseudoscience for lie detectors. So where does people analytics fall into this? It's new technology. Are we confident that it's working the way we want it to work? Are we using it in the right way? Are we using it in an ethical way? Sometimes we don't really necessarily have the answer.
Yeah, and I think this is a very, really good example that, or analogy that you've come up with, because I actually think that that analogy ties back to people analytics in a little bit different way. I would argue that, you know, we've been talking for a little bit now on the scary monitoring, and like there's some new technology out there that supposedly looks at an interviewer space and determines if they're going to be like a good candidate. And don't even get me started on how messed up that is. But yeah, you could think of that as like the lie detector, right? But then there are good parts of people analytics that we shouldn't throw out just because there's a lie detector on this elevator, right? Throw the lie detector out. And I think where it comes down to things that we've been talking about around, you know, engagement, how are you doing, pulse checks, self-reviews, all of that. I think those can be really powerful tools for those in, you know, people operations to analyze, to work with, to then provide even better care to employees.
We do have some time for questions. So if you guys have any questions, please feel free to put them in the chat pod. If you want to evaluate our performance, put a number 1 to 10, 1 being awesome, 10 being really awesome. So
good scale.
So just let us know how we're doing. I guess I can ask a question while we wait. Mm-hmm. How do you see, you know, now that we're all distributed, or at least most of us are distributed, how do you see people analytics changing? I mean, like before, if everyone was in an office and the people who were in charge of sort of monitoring employee performance and efficiency, they had the eye test for the most part. They could look around and see what people are doing, where they are, how they're acting, how they're behaving. They don't have that now. They have to trust that people are able to be as autonomous as possible. So how do you see, how do you think that changes in this time period?
I think there's probably a higher likelihood that we may see some of these things pop up more. In terms of whether it's the tracking the eyes on your computer screen, or even snapping screenshots, or you know, having the consent for employers to like see your emails, to have a proxy for productivity. And it's a little bit creepy to think about that, but since now we're shifted more towards a remote setting, I think it may open up the possibilities a little bit larger, because the need may be perceived as higher simply because we are remote.
Yeah, well, and I think that this is an opportunity for companies to redefine what productivity means for them and use people analytics to actually help redefine that. So, you know, I've frequently seen, and we're in the tech space, and, you know, my husband's also a software engineer, and he used to work for a company that was very strictly in the financial area. And they approached their way of working as, you need to be in the office 8 to 5, and I need to see you working 8 to 5. And that's not really how we work as tech people, you know? Like, if I can work from my computer anywhere, why do I need to work 8 to 5? And so I hope that this like new situation gives companies an opportunity to realize that there are better ways to measure productivity, and take that opportunity to redefine people analytics for themselves. I feel like Dataiku actually has done a really nice job of focusing on care and attention of all of us while we're working remotely.
Yeah.
And using their analytic tools to make sure that we're doing okay, not that we're continuing to work. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the key difference.
We have time for one quick question, and it's not that quick, but I'll ask it anyway. if a company were to go for an opt-in model, how would that affect accuracy? Would sample size change the way they analyze their data?
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, so the opt-in model actually would probably skew everything towards probably a little bit better, right? Mm-hmm. If you say, can we ask you a few questions about how you're feeling today? We want to improve ourselves. And you say, yeah, sure, okay, you can take my stuff. And I'm feeling great. Yeah, this is awesome. Good, good, good. And those who aren't feeling good, even if it's anonymous, even if it's, you know, secure and all that, they still might not report. So there's definitely going to be a skew and a self-selection that occurs. Mm-hmm. That.
Yeah, 1,000,000% agree. You often have this with like surveys just in general, where the people most likely to respond to like a customer satisfaction survey or something like that are the people who are at the extremes. So someone who's really, really, really happy with their purchase, or really, really disgruntled with their purchase. Where it sort of probably would arise in a company setting, you probably would see the same thing. But if it's more for opt-in, if it's more about productivity and you're opting in, those are likely to be the people who are like, oh yeah, I'm already productive. Like, I don't mind if you take a screenshot of my computer screen once a day because I'm working really hard. You're not going to miss it. You're not going to find anything you don't like. So it can skew the results and affect accuracy. And in the second half of this question for sample size, having more data is not, if that data is biased to begin with, having more of it is not going to really change anything. So I don't think having more, an increased sample size is actually going to help.
Before we go, I got good news for you.
What?
Our average score, a 9 out of 10.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, my God. I love it.
The sort of Asian mother in me is mad that we are not 10 out of 10.
Hey, there's a realism there, right? There's always more to do. There's always better to be, So if we can always improve.
Based on my scale, I think we're mostly awesome.
All righty. Mostly awesome. Well, thank you everyone for joining today. And for those of you who have been posting the comments and giving us good ratings, you should check out the Banana Data Podcast and subscribe. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts. So signing off for now. See you guys later. Say bye, boys.
Bye, boys. Bye.
And that's all we have for our Banana Bites today. To catch our live segments, follow Data IQ on LinkedIn or Twitter for bi-weekly live streams.